It's the daytime conversations here on the Daytime Break. And now and again, I love to bring in guests in studio to chat to us about certain topics that may encourage us, that may uplift us, that may teach us some lessons out of God's word that we can apply in our lives. And so we're going to be talking about a very interesting topic that I think all of us can relate to, that we've had to go through at some point or another in our lives. And because I'm not an expert, I don't know it all, I brought in Puluso, who is a lecturer at a Bible college. Hey.
Yes. I lecture at the Baptist Theological College.
Yeah.
I teach Hebrew and Greek, and I studied there myself.
So he's the kind of guy where he preaches, he'll tell you that the Greek meaning, the original meaning of this word was Logos and Lagos and all of that. Puluso, it's good to have you on the Daytime Break, man.
Thank you.
I'm looking forward to having this conversation around rebuilding, because that's what we're going to be talking about over the next few episodes. Can you just lay a foundation on where exactly, from what context are we talking about rebuilding? Where in scripture do we find or draw lessons around rebuilding?
The book of Nehemiah is a very important book, and it's full of lessons, because Nehemiah, as we all know, will rebuild the wall. But more than the wall, Nehemiah will rebuild people. He'll face some challenges as he rebuilds. And that's natural, as we will see. I'm sure if we can think of our lives, rebuilding is tough. And so that book is very excellent, full of lessons of rebuilding.
Sure, 100%. And where are we reading from in the book of Nehemiah?
Okay, we read now out of Nehemiah chapter 1. And it really sets the setting. Nehemiah is working for the king. The king at the time was Artaxerxes, who was king of the Persians, an important guy at the time. And he says in chapter 1, verse 1, "While I was in the citadel of Susa," that is the king's winter capital, he says, "one of my brothers, Hanani, came from Judah with some other men, and I questioned them about the Jewish remnant and those who had survived the exile, and about Jerusalem." Listen to what they say to him in verse 3. "Those who survived the exile are back in the province, but they're in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates have been burned with fire."
Mm.
So he received such bad news. The wall is down. The gates are down.
Yeah.
So that's very bad. And then that will get him to weep, actually. He responds by weeping. And for days, he says, "I mourned and I fasted and I prayed before the God of heaven." So obviously, this was very bad news.
Yeah.
And for all of us, when we receive any news of anything that is broken down in our life, whatever it is, whether it's a car that's broken down, it's a marriage, it's a relationship, it's, I don't know, job, contract, whatever, it's moving, it touches our hearts, it gets us to weep in one way or the other, but then it prepares us to rebuild.
Sure, it prepares us to rebuild. I like that, because I think a lot of the time when we hear bad news about something being broken down in our lives, the last thing we think about is the rebuilding, right? Or maybe thinking about the rebuilding is what makes us cry even more, because we're thinking, but I built this for years and now I'm going to have to start all over again. But I think, you know, rebuilding on its own is actually not such a bad concept at all. And I suppose when life has forced you to that place where certain things are broken down, we have no option but to rebuild. And I think we'll chat more about that just after the break. Welcome back to the Daytime Break here on 103. We're having our daytime conversation with Puluso, and we're talking about rebuilding. So before we took a break, you told us about Nehemiah, who receives these bad news about the walls of Jericho being broken down, meaning the security of the city and so many other things are, like you said earlier on, compromised now. And that's us sometimes. You know, we hear the bad news, and like Nehemiah, we begin to weep. What happens after?
Yeah, listen, weeping is a natural response to loss. That's the best place to start. But then this heavy heart, one must know where to take it, because that's important with rebuilding. Most people take it to the wrong place. Here's Nehemiah, a man with a broken heart, but a man who knew where to take his broken heart. He doesn't take it to the bottle. He doesn't take it to the brothel. He takes it to God, you know, and he this is how he responds in verse 5. I said, "Oh Lord, the God of heaven." That's where he starts. He starts by prayer. And that's a good place if you're going to rebuild. Prayer is a good starting point. Address God. He doesn't address the king who could potentially help, but he first goes to the King of Kings.
Amen.
Before he can speak to the king at Artaxerxes. And that's a very important place to start. Where do you take your broken heart? where do you start? And people break it even more because they don't know where to take it. So instead of repairing, one breaks or shatters oneself even more. Whereas the good place to do is take it to God in prayer. That's a very good starting point. If we are going to rebuild. Take your brokenness to God in the form of prayer. Address Him directly. God, here's what's broken in my life. But then He'll say, He'll acknowledge very interesting things in His prayer, just quickly. One, He says, O Lord, God of heaven, the great and awesome God. So one, He recognizes the power of God. God is an awesome God. And once you have that grand view of God, even the seemingly grand or big problem is then put into perspective.
Sure.
Because I have such a great and awesome God, then this problem doesn't seem so big anymore. Sure. And then He says, Lord, be attentive to my prayer. So again, He recognizes this great God that He serves. And then He confesses sins. He says, I confess the sins that we, the Israelites, and myself and my father's house have committed against you. Now, you need to understand that the reason why the walls had been broken down was because God had brought sort of discipline through the Babylonians to break that down and to take them into exile. Nehemiah was not born, but in his prayer, he identifies with the people of God and says, you know what, me and my father's house and the Israelites, we are sinners. And he confesses that before God. And repentance, again, is a good place.
And I think that is very interesting, Puluso, you know, that you talk to us about that, to say he acknowledged the sins, he confessed, and he even put himself in. Because I'm looking, even, for example, in the context of a broken marriage, for example, a lot of the time, or anything at all, we tend to put the blame on the next person all the time. We never look at ourselves and say, Lord, I've contributed maybe in this way or that to the breaking down of the marriage or whatever other situation is. So I find that quite a very important point and something to learn from Nehemiah.
Yeah, sure, it is. It is. It's a brilliant thing. And then he'll move on in his prayer to remember God's promises. He says, Lord, remember you gave Moses, your servant, saying, if you are unfaithful and scattered among the nations and all of that, but then if you obey me and my commandments, even if you are exiled, then I will bring you back from the furthest horizon. So he's almost praying with his Bible open. He's saying, God, you said in your word, it's a good place to start. So again, he remembers. So one, he recognizes God, a big God. Secondly, he repents. Thirdly, he remembers God's promise. And then he makes a request. Says, God, give me success today by granting me favor in the eyes of this man, talking about the king. And that is amazing. Because you start with a big God. When you have a big God, even somebody as powerful as a king is just a man. And you say, Lord, grant me success in his presence.
Sure.
And that was wonderful out of Nehemiah. That's a good place to start.
Let's summarize that. I love the R's that you mentioned. So first he
receives the news
and
he responds to it in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And his response, he recognizes that God is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
He repents of the sins. Then he remembers God's promises and he makes a request to God.
Sure. I think you've just given us a template on, you know, and obviously every situation is different, but I think these are very important points for us to remember when we receive those bad news and we are trying to rebuild in our lives. And I think the order of how, you know, first he started with God and recognized his greatness, then leads him to being able, you know, I feel like it's almost as though once you've recognized God, then it sort of brings your mind back to sanity to say, okay, now, where do we begin?
You exactly. Know,
let's repent. Let's acknowledge that we've also sinned against God. And maybe sometimes our repentance is on behalf of the person that's even done us wrong, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Ask the Lord for forgiveness, even for that person. And then you say he recognizes God, he repents.
And then
he remembers the promises of God.
So he goes back to the word, if you will.
Yeah.
Lord, you said in your word, you know?
Yeah. Sure, and then he...
And then he makes a request. God, give me favor in the eyes of this man.
As I begin to rebuild the walls.
Yes.
Powerful stuff. Puluso, we'll catch up again next week.
We will. Thank you.